September has been a busy month for legal challenges to New York's tenant protection laws, including provisions adopted in 2019 and the latest version of the state's eviction moratorium. To discuss what's been happening in the courts, we're joined by Susanna Cavanaugh, a reporter covering landlords for The Real Deal, which covers real estate news. Welcome to the show, Susanna.
Thanks for having me.
So ever since the state adopted a package of broad sweeping rent protection measures back in 2019, they have been challenged repeatedly in court, and you reported recently on two legal objections that were thrown out in federal court. Can you talk to us about who brought these challenges and what their arguments were?
So just to be clear, there's been five cases total challenging the 2019 rent laws, which are also called the Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act of 2019, and that's since it went into effect about 2 years ago. And just as a refresher, among other tweaks, the rent law severely restricted the options that rent-stabilized landlords have to raise the rent in buildings. So the trade-off being that tenants have significantly more protection. So before 2019, an owner could bring a building up to market rate if it became vacant or if the tenant's income exceeded a certain threshold or if the rent exceeded a certain threshold. And they could also significantly increase the rent if they made any big improvements to the building. And the 2019 rent laws put a stop to all of that. And landlords have argued that they can't maintain their buildings without those means of raising the rent. All of that being said, five cases challenging the rent laws. Last week, the last two that hadn't been dismissed yet got dismissed. One was brought by a group of Westchester landlords in December of 2019, and the other was brought by a group of landlords in New York City. One of them was GMAX Management, and that was brought in January of 2020. And the thing about the cases, for the most part, is all five use the same base arguments. So they're focusing on two main things. One is that the rent law is unconstitutional under the Fifth Amendment, which is the Takings Clause, and that says that the government has to compensate a property owner if it takes that owner's property. And because these rent-regulated tenants might have succession rights, meaning that their son can live in the apartment after they've died, these landlords are arguing that the law allows them to stay, which constitutes a taking. The other constitutional amendment violates is the 14th, and that's due process, but specifically substantive due process. And that says that what government does has to have a rational basis. So the end of a policy must be connected to a government's goals in instituting it. And they're pretty much saying that the rent laws don't create more affordable housing, which is what they were put in place to do.
So as these legal battles have been waged, what has that meant for the implementation of the different protections and rules in the 2019 laws?
Not much. I mean, all of these landlords want their cases to hit the Supreme Court, right? So they'll be heard and hopefully some portion of the law will be thrown out, but likely not all of it. But in the meantime, the law is still in place. Tenants are protected. For landlords, it's meant hit to their revenue streams. I spoke to an owner who said she had to sell a large portion of her portfolio because they require repairs. For example, two of them need new elevators. And she said without the increased rent that would come from being able to raise the rent because they're rent-regulated buildings, she just can't afford those repairs, so she had to get rid of them. So that's one thing that's happening is that landlords are getting out of the business. But as far as legally, everything is still in place.
Are there any other outstanding legal challenges to the 2019 laws? And for the cases that have been dismissed, are they essentially just dead or could they have new life in the form of some appeals to higher courts and potentially maybe the U.S. Supreme Court?
So five cases in total, right? Three cases have been appealed that were dismissed. And then I reached out to the two lawyers representing the plaintiffs in the cases that were dismissed last week. They didn't get back to me, but the thought is that they'll likely try to appeal because everyone's sort of gunning for the Supreme Court. Of the cases that have been appealed, probably the most prominent is the first case that was filed, which was by the Rent Stabilization Association and the Community Housing Improvement Program. Both of those associations represent rent-stabilized landlords. They're pretty big in the city. And their case basically argued the same points as the GMAX and Westchester landlords case. The difference being that where those cases that were dismissed last week looked very specifically at the 2019 rent laws, the CHIP RSA case says they're looking more at systemic issues of the rent laws, so like historical problems, because the rent laws have been in place for a very long time. Just in general, there has been rent regulation. So that's sort of vague, but I think what the difference is that those cases that were dismissed last week are saying that before 1993, which was when the rent laws that said you're allowed to raise the rent if someone vacates a building, or you're allowed to raise the rent if the rent goes above a certain threshold. Before that point, those protections weren't in place for landlords, and no one challenged the constitutionality of what the rent laws were before 1993. And they're saying that the 2019 rent laws pretty much kicked it back to what it had been before 1993, lifting some of those allowances for landlords. And the argument is that because those laws were upheld, the constitutionality wasn't challenged, that the 2019 rent laws should be upheld as well. So the CHIP and RSA case is hoping that because their scope is a bit broader, it'll hold up in the Second Circuit.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Susanna Cavanaugh, a reporter covering landlords for The Real Deal. Pivoting to another issue, the latest incarnation of the state's eviction moratorium, which was crafted in the wake of the previous law being declared unconstitutional, faced its own constitutional questions in court this month. Can you explain who's trying to hobble the current law and what they're arguing in terms of why they think this is problematic still?
So looking at the New York State moratorium, the way that worked was that tenants had to fill out this hardship declaration, basically saying that they were unable to pay their rent due to COVID. And that was the argument that landlords made to challenge it. Landlords said that because tenants were able to unilaterally just say, I can't pay this, and landlords had no means of contesting it, that it violated their due process. And that's a different type of due process than what we talked about earlier. This is procedural due process, which basically says that no person can be a judge in his or her or their own court. So mid-August, the Supreme Court ruled that that piece of the moratorium was unconstitutional because it did not let landlords contest the form. So they threw out that component of it. A few weeks later, the moratorium's deadline passed. So Governor Kathy Hochul, who'd only been in office for a week or so, called the legislature back for a special session, and they drafted this new legislation that really had a difficult job to do because it had to both abide by the Supreme Court's ruling, which said that you have to give landlords a chance to argue their case, which pretty much requires them going into court, but it also wanted to keep tenants out of court. So it's kind of like catch-22. The way they worked around that obstacle was they decided to allow landlords to, on a good faith basis, say, I don't think a tenant's hardship declaration is accurate, and to bring that into court. And that opened up a whole other can of worms. RSI just sued a little bit over a week ago, and they didn't sue by opening up a new case. They basically just appealed their earlier lawsuit because their argument is that the changes that the legislature made are so minimal that it's basically the same case as before. And there's a couple arguments that they have about that. They're still arguing that there's denial of due process, saying that tenants don't really have to prove any hardship. They just have to like check a box. So it's still allowing tenants to be their own judge. And then they're also saying that because they have to contest that hardship declaration under the penalty of perjury, that that's creating another obstacle for them to be heard in court. And then there's also the argument that it's just difficult for a lot of these city landlords to prove whether their tenants have suffered hardship because, you know, in the city, there's these big firms, big property management companies, and they don't really get any face time with their tenants. So being able to say, like, this person has been going to work. I know they have a job, would require just sort of, you know, scoping outside their house or something like that. And with work from home, it's another complication.
What's the status, though, of the moratorium as the rent stabilization group works to, I guess, undermine the existing law?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's still in place until January 15th, I think is the end date. Arguments were heard this Tuesday, and pretty much just going back and forth about with the judge about, you know, whether or not the changes that were made to the legislation still pose a threat to landlords' due process or not. The court reserved a decision ultimately, so it's being put off. But in the meantime, I mean, housing courts are opening back up probably mid-October is what the Office of Court Administration is projecting. The thing is, there's been a lot of talk about whether there will be this, you know, like tsunami of eviction filings. With the moratorium still in place, it should be stalled, but it could be a problem, you know, starting early next year if just a capacity issue. And I think something that was interesting about that hearing that happened this week was that the judge asked for sort of backlogs of what the cases that the court has heard over the past 3 years. And I'm not quite sure why, but I was wondering if it might be to see if the court could handle the amount of evictions that have been filed and that may be filed in the next 3 months or so.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Susanna Cavanaugh. She's a reporter covering landlords for The Real Deal. Susanna, thank you so much for walking us through this minefield of legal issues facing landlords in New York City.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.